This is tape one of The Mythology of the Great Self Within, presented by Robert Moore.
It's a great joy to me to be able to come back and do this small, short course in the Institute curriculum because I believe that the idea of a great self that dwells within is one of the very important ideas that Carl Jung's psychology helps us to understand in unprecedented depth and clarity. And so I've titled this little introduction to the fundamental importance of the study of what Jungians call archetypal materials, of course, folklore, spiritual traditions, and with a special emphasis on world mythology, for understanding the deep structures of the human psyche. And so, as you see in your course description, we're going to have four sessions, and of course, you understand that this is simply a very brief introduction to work that will take all of us probably the rest of our lives. And that many of the other courses here in the curriculum enable you to expand upon what we will do together. But the first session tonight, we're going to hit the ground running, and I'm going to try to lecture for about an hour and touch on the theme of the great self in world mythology. Just to give us a sense of the way in which the human psyche and spirit, in reflecting upon itself, has given an enormous number of different images to this idea of a great self in the human soul. Next week, I will share with you some of my reflections upon the wider Freudian psychoanalytic tradition and the Adlerian psychoanalytic tradition in terms of the way in which those traditions have attempted to explain what they know to be expressions of something extremely large and creative, potentially very creative, and often dangerous in the unconscious of the human being. The third week, I will, on February the 1st, I will present some of the Jungian tradition with regard to this great self within. And I emphasize here Jungian, not post-Jungian. One of the things that I think it's very important for us to do in our time is to get very clear about what I consider to be the fact that many people that call themselves post-Jungians are not Jungian at all because of their avoidance of this whole issue that we're going to be addressing in this course. And then finally, on February the 8th, I will talk about some of the clinical implications, both for understanding the task of psychotherapy and understanding our own personal individuation process. And if you will remind me, I will indeed try to reflect that evening about the public implications of coming to terms with the great self within, because I wasn't joking a while ago when I said that as we meet tonight during the inaugural festivities around a new president, that what in fact we are doing will be reflecting upon the psychological ground that's being acted out by our country in this process. There is a projection of the great self upon the president-elect, and we will be talking that last evening a little bit, if you'll remind me, about how one can anticipate some of the promise and pitfalls of relating to the great self on the part of any public leader like our president-elect. So we've got a lot to do. And yet let me underline again that this topic is really at the core of what makes Jungian psychology, Carl Jung's psychology, different from other psychologies. And in a word, as a word of introduction, let me just say something that we'll be reiterating as we go, that not all psychological theories are the same, and not all psychoanalytic theories are the same, and not all views of the unconscious are the same. And it has been the belief of people who have been grounded in Jung's thought that world mythical traditions and world spiritual traditions have to be studied not because they are of any simple antiquarian interest, that they contain clues, they contain partial maps of what Carl Jung called the collective unconscious, or what has been called in other places the objective psyche, and that beneath the level of the personal unconscious and the family unconscious and the cultural unconscious, which certainly exist, and we should speak later in the course about how each of these levels influence the emergence of the great self, that there is a substrate which is common to the species that we are. And it is in that it is in understanding some of the implications of a self which is grounded in the collective unconscious that the uniqueness of Carl Jung's psychology really lies. Unfortunately, many people today in the Jungian community spend very little time looking at the implications of this great self within, looking at its phenomenology, or trying to understand how it affects clinical practice, even in those who don't believe in it.